Welcome to the Stronger Marriage Podcast, where today we're talking about temptation and unfaithfulness in marriage.
Welcome to the Stronger Marriage Podcast with Trey and Lee. On this podcast, you'll hear real topics about real life. They cover everything from married sex to raising kids to loving your spouse so much that you're willing to forgive them for occasionally being the most annoying person in the world. Trey and Lee have raised four boys, been married over 30 years, and somehow still really like each other. And now, live from the metropolis of Childress, Texas, a place so flat you can watch your dog run away for 3 days, here are your hosts for the Stronger Marriage Podcast, Trey and Lee Morgan.
I have yet to get tired of that.
Hello, everybody. We're glad you joined us on this hot Wednesday in Texas. It may not be hot where you are, so good for you.
And there's a lot of sarcasm. There's no metropolis of Childress, Texas.
No.
We live in a very small town with about three stoplights. Yeah, all that kind of good stuff. So we're talking temptation and unfaithfulness in marriage. We're going to look from Proverbs 7 today. We're actually going to do a little bit of talking about the book of Proverbs, and one of the chapters out of our Wisdom for Your Marriage book.
Yeah, and I believe one of the verses in there, one of the translations of one of the verses says, don't be brainless.
Yes.
And that's kind of what we titled our chapter in our book, don't be brainless.
Brainless is the person who is unfaithful in his marriage. And there's lots of warnings given in Proverbs 7 about unfaithfulness. And it is a problem. It is an issue. We get emails and messages from couples daily that are having problems with trust issues in their marriage. And we want to talk about some of that and why it's a big deal.
That's right. And you may be thinking, I don't need to listen to this. That's not going to be an issue for my marriage. And we just urge you to just go ahead and listen, because that's when people fall into trouble, is when they feel like they are exempt.
Yeah. When you think it'll never happen to you, I think that's one of our points in a little while. But when you think it's not going to happen to you, I'd never let that happen in my marriage. You're already asking for trouble because you're letting your guard down.
Yeah. Don't let your guard down. So I've got some questions for you.
Shoot, I'm ready.
We ready to jump in?
Yeah, jump.
Okay. Who was physically the strongest man in the Bible?
That'd be Samson.
Okay. Who was the wisest man in the Bible?
Solomon, who wrote most of Proverbs.
Right. And who was one in the Bible that was called the man after God's own heart?
That would be David.
All right. And so what did all three of these men have in common?
I know this. The strongest man, the smartest man, and the man after God's own heart all struggled with sexual temptation and actually failed at it.
Sad. Yeah, that's sad. That kind of tells us that no matter how strong, smart, or godly we think we are, if we're not careful, we too can lose to Satan and temptation.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that I think, again, goes back to, we've got to have our guard up. We've got to be paying attention. And you've got to be one of those couples that if you just think it'll never happen to me, look out. You got to be careful. There's a story in chapter 7 of the book of Proverbs. It's about it's just a story about a fictitious guy, but it talks a little bit about temptation. And it says down in verse, if I can read this about this guy, it says, at twilight in the evening, as darkness fell, a man was walking on the street. A woman approached him, seductively dressed, sly of heart. This is Proverbs 7, verse 11. She was brash and the rebellious type, and never content to stay at home. She often, in the streets and in the marketplaces, solicited herself on every corner. She threw her arms around the man and kissed him, and with a brazen look, she said, I have just made my peace offerings and fulfilled my vows. You're the one I looked for. I've come to find you, and you are here. My bed is spread with beautiful blankets. My colored sheets are Egyptian linen. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come drink our fill of love till morning. Let's enjoy each other's caresses. Listen to verse 19. My husband is not home. He is on a long trip. He has taken a wallet full of money with him and won't return for later this month. And it says, and she seduced him with her pretty speech and enticed him with her flattery. She knew what guys like.
Mm-hmm.
Words of praise and flattery. And she reeled him in like a fisherman does an old bass. And
she heaped it on thick.
Yeah, she did. And you look at some of the things that those verses said, and basically the woman in the story is temptation. And you can learn some things about how Satan is going to tempt us by looking at things that she did, and kind of how she played on different emotions. And of course, in our story, it was the woman doing the pursuing, but he was awfully willing too.
That's right.
Back in verse 9, temptation waited until dark. That tells you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I would guess that most relationships that are not supposed to be taking place do so in the cover of darkness.
Mm-hmm. It always looks appealing. Temptation always looks appealing.
Like it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to find out.
That's right. It's going to overcome anyone who's willing. If you're a willing participant, you're a goner.
Yeah. Did you notice verse 12 said in the streets and in marketplaces, meaning temptation's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just,
you
don't have to go seek it. It will find you. It is absolutely everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to your marriage and life and everything else. Verse 13, she threw her arms around him and kissed him with a brazen look, she said, which tells us temptation is aggressive. She will seek, temptation will seek, and it will hunt you down.
That's right. Temptation will try to make you feel that God is okay with it. This woman had just come from worship where she'd made sacrifices. So, you know, it makes her look like she's a good person.
Yeah. And think about this for a second. We have this today. We have people tell us today, but, you know, God wants me to be happy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm not happy in my marriage, but God wants me,
God
to, be
wants
happy.
Me to be happy.
And we try to make temptation and sin and unfaithfulness okay. You know, I'm in a bad marriage, or maybe my husband or my wife isn't meeting my needs. And so we will do everything we can to justify this. It'll make you think you're special. She says, I've looked for you everywhere. And I love the fact temptation will always make you feel secure, like you will not get caught. My husband has left, you know, we're not going to get caught. Everybody's doing this and nobody's going to find out.
That's right.
But that doesn't happen.
Very persuasive.
Yeah.
Temptation is very persuasive, and it will cost you your life, basically. Verse 22 and 23
It says, he followed her like an ox going to slaughter, like a stag caught in a trap, awaiting an arrow to pierce his heart, like a bird that flew into a snare. Basically, when you give in to temptation like that, you're headed to slaughter. That sounds terrible, but that's just, Solomon's trying to give warning to people, don't fall for it.
That's right. When you think about how many people it hurts. I mean, not only does it hurt you and your marriage and your spouse, but it hurts your children. It hurts your reputation. You can never get your reputation back. You know, if you've been a upright, solid person up until that point, you've just told the world that you're not faithful and not trustworthy.
Yeah. And we're not here trying to beat anybody up. We are simply here trying to catch those people before temptation gets them.
That's right.
It's what we're trying to do. Tell us a little bit about the husbands. We mentioned this, but
we know, and we've mentioned it before, that men are very visual. They're very visually oriented. So they notice, you know, this man in this story noticed what this woman had on. Or what she possibly didn't have on if she was dressed very provocatively.
Mm-hmm.
So she knew what she was doing. She knew exactly how to lure him in.
Yeah, she's very aggressive and knew what he liked. And they started with God wants me to be happy and this is all going to be fine and okay. And she portrays herself as exactly everything that you might wish your spouse would be. this is the perfect person I've been looking for. But they lead to death and the grave. Mm-hmm. And so don't think with your pride.
That's right.
Don't think with your body parts. Don't think with your emotions. Don't think with your sexual feelings. Think with your wisdom.
Yeah. Satan is good like that. He's tricky. And he knows what you think you're missing out on. And that's what he's going to go after you with.
Yeah. So if you were to take this story, because it kind of made it sound like the guy was he wasn't, there's nothing innocent about this guy, but she was the pursuer in this relationship. If we could reverse this and kind of rewrite this in different genders and make the guy the pursuer, kind of what would that have sounded like in this text?
If he was writing to women, to his daughters.
Instead of his sons.
He might have said something like, "Temptation approaches you as a friend you know from work. He dresses well. He always smells great. He's kind. He comes across as the perfect gentleman. He compliments how you look every day. He makes you feel special. You find yourself stopping by his desk all the time, hoping he's going to say something else that will make you feel good about yourself. You have a little bit of an adrenaline rush when you see him. You find yourself daydreaming about working late with him. You wish your husband could make you feel this way and give you more encouragement and praise. This guy often mentions that if he was your husband, he would treat you like a queen, and he sounds absolutely perfect."
Yeah, but just like in the text, in chapter 7, this guy's going to lead to death in the grave too. Don't think with your emotions. Don't think with your feelings. Think with your wisdom. So how do we avoid this? How can we be on our toes and on guard for all of this stuff?
Yeah, so verse 25 in this chapter 7 of Proverbs that we're looking at tells us to guard our heart.
Okay, so our heart, we got to guard our heart. Don't let temptation in towards your heart. And it also says in verse 25, and watch your step. Don't watch where you go.
Mm-hmm. Don't put yourself in an awkward position to begin with.
That's true. Yeah. I heard a guy, a baseball player one time, talk about how he went down the wrong path. And he said he started hanging out in the wrong places with the wrong people. And he said something I'll never forget. He said, "I learned it doesn't matter how strong you think you are, how wise you think you are, how godly think you are, if you are always hanging out in the wrong places with the wrong people, you will eventually do the wrong thing."
Mm-hmm.
And that just stuck with me. That just stuck with me. So guard your heart, guard your steps, be careful where you go, and consider what it's going to cost you. It is going to cost you your reputation. It's possibly going to cost you your marriage. It's going to cost you your relationship with your children. It is, as it said several times in here, her house is the highway to the grave, that it leads to the chambers of death. Those are all such harsh things, mm-hmm. but it's just, he is simply trying to warn us to be very cautious about what you do and how you do it, because you don't want to get in trouble with any of those things. Proverbs 6:32 is your verse that talks about, it's from the Message, which is a paraphrase, but it's a pretty good way. Go ahead and tell us what that says.
So it reads this way: "Adultery is a brainless act. Soul-destroying, self-destructive." That's pretty harsh. It destroys your soul, and it's brainless.
Yeah, don't be brainless. That is pretty good. So let's close this session with four ways to kind of put on our guard against some sexual temptation in marriage, and against unfaithfulness. We'll just give you four things that's come to our mind that will kind of help in here that stands out to us. Number one is, Take your purity seriously. The Bible says, keep the marriage bed pure. Take that serious. Be cautious about where you let your mind wander, what you watch on your phone or your computer or your television set, and don't ever have that attitude that says it can't happen to us.
Yeah, that won't happen to us attitude is a dangerous one to have that we've already mentioned.
I don't know that I've ever counseled with a couple that's gone through this that hasn't said, I can't believe this happened to us. I mean, no one ever thinks it will,
mm-hmm.
And that's why you've just got to be on your toes.
Yeah, nobody sets out to ever mm-hmm. do this. So that's exactly right. So just, take that purity seriously in your marriage. And then set rules. Set rules for your marriage so that you're not putting yourself into these positions that can get you in trouble.
Yeah. What are some of the rules we use that we have always had and still try to follow along? And these may not work for everybody. And what I mean is sometimes you may have a job where you can't follow this rule completely, but you can do everything you can to set this rule and go, hey, this is kind of rules we have.
We try to never be alone with the opposite sex.
Right.
If you've got somebody coming to talk to you in your office, a woman, you always make sure, that there's somebody else, right across the hall, in close proximity, whatever. We don't, go on trips. Sometimes business requires people to do that, that you go on trips with people of the opposite sex. But we just want to warn you that if there is a way to avoid that, we would suggest that you avoid that.
Yeah. Stick to some rules, some mm-hmm. marriage rules for your marriage. And one of those is don't compromise these rules, but don't spend time alone together. One of the things that another rule that would fit this in rules for your marriage is we believe in flirting with one another, but we would never flirt with someone that was not each other. Does that make sense?
Of course.
And so that is a rule that we take very seriously is don't flirt with somebody that is not your spouse.
Yeah.
And so we want to make sure that rule is something that we're watching very close in there. Another thing for our marriage that we're very careful of is confiding in someone of the opposite sex. We want to be very careful that we don't do that as well. So those are just some rules that we have. Now, let's jump back up here and talk about a third thing in here that we can do.
Find someone to help keep you safe. Kind of an accountability partner, I guess, is what you would call this, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, you can be that with your spouse, but it's always good to be that with someone, a friend of mine, a buddy of mine, things like that. Somebody that you can go, hey, help me be accountable in this. Find someone that will keep you spiritually accountable, somebody that will help you stay on track in your relationship. And someone of course, don't find someone of the opposite sex, but find a buddy or if you're a wife, a girlfriend or something like that, that will just say, hey, I'm going to help keep you accountable. I do that with several guys. And I have them ask me too, but I have several men in my world that's reached out to me that has said, hey, I've struggled with pornography in my past, and can you help keep me accountable? And I send them texts random days going, all right, so shoot straight with me. How are things going? What have you struggled? And so helping someone keep you safe is a good thing.
Yeah. There's actually software you can have, and it will send, like, if you try to visit a certain website, it will send an email to your accountability friend saying, so and so is trying to log into such and such. So that just, that just keeps you from doing those kinds of things.
We wish we had more time, but we would also talk about the fact that, in our relationship, our phones are open to one another. We don't delete browser history or cookies. Do you know how to delete your browser history?
I think if I messed with it long enough, I could probably figure that out. But I'm not sure that's ever anything I've ever done.
Yeah,
so, right.
I don't think I do unless I'm having issues with my computer and it says, hey, to fix this, you need to delete your browser history or your cookies. But those are things that we do to be cautious. And then lastly, nurture the intimacy with your spouse. Nurture your sex life with mm-hmm. your spouse, which is a good defense is a good offense.
Yeah. And the best offense is a good defense.
There you go. However you want to phrase it, you're going to arrive at the same place.
That's right.
And we talk a little bit in our workshop that, 1 Corinthians 7 talks about husbands, if you're married, your body doesn't just belong to just you. It also belongs to your wife. And wives, if your body doesn't just belong to you, it also belongs to your husband. And then it says, and do not withhold sex from one another unless it's by mutual consent. And then he says, and not very long so that you're not tempted. which gives you an idea that there is some protection from temptation in a well-nurtured sex life with your spouse.
Exactly. I mean, why would you, if you've got everything, you know, if your needs are being met, not only sexually, but, you know, emotionally, physically, all of your needs, if you are both mutual, that's the key word here. If you're both striving to really meet each other's needs, why would either one of you even want to look anywhere else?
That is true.
You wouldn't.
That is true.
So,
and so there's lots of good stuff in the book of Proverbs. We just thought this would be a good time to just talk a little bit from our book, Wisdom for Your Marriage. You can find it on Amazon. That's just one of the chapters, and then it has some great discussion questions and kind of a evaluation check on how are we doing on these things right here. Yeah, we're headed to Red River, New Mexico for a family encampment. We're doing some speaking, and all our family's going. We're excited about that.
Yes.
All our family is going to go hang out in the cool mountains. We're excited about taking jackets.
A little work / vacation. And so we are taking the week off next week doing a podcast.
We're sorry. Also. We won't be back next week for a podcast. And so we are here this week for a podcast. But we'll be back in 2 weeks, somewhere around about the 7th of July, actually, is when that's going to be. Yes, we'll be back on. Thank you all for your patience.
I think so.
There is, if you're new to our podcast, there are a lot of really good old episodes that you've missed. Some of those are outrageously popular. Scroll back through some of those and listen to some of those older podcasts. But we appreciate everybody listening. We appreciate people joining us today.
We do.
Hey, we got our Dallas Getaway Weekend coming up. And if you want to know more about that, TreyandLee.com. That's a big event. A lot of fun. It is leave your kids. Do not bring them. Find a babysitter and come hang out with us for a weekend in a hotel.
That is right. And that is in 2 weeks?
Yeah, we're about
three weeks out. Anyway, last minute. If you can make a last minute trip, man, sign up for that. It's going to be fun.
It'd be fun. Thanks for hanging out with us today. And we're glad you joined us. And we'll see y'all in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.